Jimmy's Reel 10. You're in the Reichswald, Jim, and you're just collecting some ammunition.
Yeah. Well, we got back, and like I said, the RSM and a Sergeant Major and a Sniper Sergeant was asleep in the dugout that me and the RSM's batman had dug. And he said, what are we going to do? I said, come on. I said, we'll kick down in the carrier. So we lay down in the carrier either side, and one of the anti-tank platoon, a tall young lad by the name of Livesey, he was on picket, and he was up and down with his rifle, and all of a sudden a salvo of shells and air bursts and everything came in. I said, and all of a sudden there was a huge lump of shrapnel stuck in the driving seat between me and Hurst.
Right.
So I said, oh, come on, we're not stopping here.
Yeah.
I said, and we run. I said, and I went in the dugout, feet first, right into the chest of the Sergeant Major.
Still.
I wasn't very happy.
No, but self-preservation, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Self-preservation when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So you were in the forest for a few days, weren't you?
Yeah.
Until they eventually got through. Because the size of the forest, Jim, roughly?
Oh, I don't know what to say, to be honest with you, but it was a massive
place. Quite a big place, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Quite a big place.
I mean, for one of the, I've never been in shot of that forest.
In Wiltshire?
In Wiltshire.
Yeah.
It's the Savannah Forest is the nearest I can put to the Reichswald. Because I've been in them both.
Right. So for a few days you're there and you're still doing the same things, doing your runs. And then what? So then what happens after?
Well, when we got through the other side, I think it was the 15th Scottish that were coming up on the left. And we seemed to stop and take it easy for 2 or 3 days. And then we went on and we went through Gok.
Yeah. I think you went through Gok about 28th of February.
We went through Gok, and what was the other place?
Gok and well, there are two fortified towns, Cleve,
that was it. Gok and Cleve.
But both of those towns, when you went through,
they'd been liberated.
You weren't fighting through there, were you?
Weren't fighting through
no. That, so. But they were presumably badly bombshelled.
They were well bashed up.
Yeah. So this is now the end of February, and it's coming up. St. David's Day is March the 1st.
Yeah.
And you're working your way down, aren't you?
Yeah. I know we did two river, not yet to be, but I know we did two river crossings over the Vaser and the Arlet.
Yeah. Let's just stop this and we'll just have a think about it. Okay, Jim, so just had a bit of a rest, but what you're doing now is saying that you've just gone through about end of February, Gok and Geldern, which were fortified towns, and you're making your way down to basically the Rhine, really, before you cross it.
I remember we came down this
road, and the I think the place that I remember was a place San Francisco called Isolone, or Isolone.
Yeah.
And that was like, well, that was more or less right down on the Rhine.
Mm. Mm.
But a friend of mine was killed down there, and well, I'm sorry, I'm saying killed. He had both his legs blown off, but he must have died in Base Hospital because he's buried in Hoorn,
yes,
in Holland.
Yeah.
And what it was, he was the commander of what they called the dismounted carrier platoon.
Yeah.
And we were going up this road. I just don't know the name of the place, but we came to a roadblock, and the CO in his Bren gun carrier was at the front of me. I was behind, and then behind me was the Royal Artillery half-track,
yeah,
the Artillery Observer.
Yeah.
And when we got to this roadblock, we stopped, and the CO said to his driver, oh, come on, go around the side.
Mm.
And he said, no, sir. He said, they haven't blocked this road and not mine there.
Mm.
And he said, we need the pioneers for the mine detectors.
Mm.
So the RSM said to me, oh, come on, go. I said, you know, if he's not going, I'm not.
Yeah.
I said, and the next thing, the battery commander, who I think was someone called McKindle, Major McKindle, he said to the CO, he said, oh, he said, Colonel Allen, he said, if your men are frightened of going round there, my driver isn't.
Mm.
I said, so this armoured half track pulled off, and it was going up the grass bank at the side when the dismounted carrier platoon with Sergeant Lee at the front came marching up the road, and he was right on a level with the front wheel of this half track when it hit a mine.
Right.
And blew his legs off.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible, really, isn't it? It's awful. Awful. Yeah.
And like I say, when I went to Sir Toganbrush in 1985, and we went to the cemetery at Hoorn, and I found his grave.
Yeah.
Because he was a Blackburn lad, and he was a right good pal of mine because we lived in the same district.
Mm. Did you know that he was buried in? He was buried in Hoorn.
Until I found his grave.
Oh, so it must have been quite a surprise and a shock when you found it.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's bring it back to where we were, which was on getting down to the Rhine, basically, Jim, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What happened around there or there at that time after that? Any thoughts?
Well, my recollection was that they pulled out and they went back to Brussels or somewhere.
Yeah.
But we had to, we pulled back so far, but we had to stay to maintain and everything of the vehicles.
Was that the whole of HQ, or was that?
Well, it was the order of the battalion transport.
Battalion transport. Mm. The rest of the battalion had gone to
R&R. They went back on TCVs, which was the Royal Army Service Corps.
Yeah.
Troop carrying vehicles.
So how long did you stay there then, Jim?
Week or 10 days.
Yeah.
And then I remember after that we were right on the banks of the Rhine when we saw the airborne armada come over.
Across
the Rhine.
So you were just about to cross the Rhine. So to put a date on that, that must have been about the 25th, 6th of March. So what are your recollections about seeing that airborne armada going over?
Well, funnily enough, at the time, we'd found this grave of one of our lads on the side, and a group of us had stood round it and had photographs taken. And it was whilst we were doing that that this armada came over, and as they got further over, we could see them coming down out of the plains.
We'd see them dropping.
It was a bit like Ireland. I mean, the sky was full of planes, full of parachutes.
And what about the actual crossing of the Rhine? Do you remember that?
We went to my recollection, we went up on a pontoon bridge. Which away to the engineers building it. And we went across, I think, near a place called Basel.
Something like that. Basel. Yeah. W-E-S-S-E-L or something.
W-E-S-E-L.
Yeah. And it was quite uneventful, the crossing, was it?
Well, yeah, it was more or less routine, and, you know, I think there was a little bit of shell fire or something. Nothing to really impede you.
Nothing compared with what you'd seen in other places along the way. So now you've crossed the Rhine, you've got across there safely, and the battalion's across. Do you remember moving on from there, and where you go from there? Or what you were doing?
I can remember one episode. I don't just know where the place was, but we went into the attack and we'd taken our position, and it was night time, it was dark, or going dark, and the 7th RWF had gone through us, and me and my pal, who was the seahorse carrier driver, we just got settled down to sleep on a huge pile of potatoes in a barn on a farm. When there was such a roar and a screaming and running of feet, and the ROF and the RWF were running back down the road saying there were millions of Germans coming at them from the hill. And they overran one of our companies, which to me was D Company, and they it sort of took a little while to get out and get clear it and get to get them back.
I've got a feeling that was a bit later, which was after you crossed some rivers up in Germany. But for the time being, you've just gone across the Rhine. But I guess it's all getting quite mobile, and that's why maybe you're thinking that it could be a different place, because it's maybe getting faster. You're moving
faster.
Well,
we're moving pretty fast.
Yeah. So from crossing the Rhine, what next memory have you got, or thoughts about where you were next, Jim?
Well, I remember going to a place, Kirk in Town, and Bockholt.
Now, Bockholt is earlier. Bockholt is just this period, just not long after crossing the Rhine.
No.
That was Bockholt.
Yeah, I remember going to Bockholt.
What do you remember of Bockholt?
Well, it was a pretty stiff do to get through. It was the name I remembered more than anything.
Yes, of course. But you were driving through Bockholt pretty much. Bockholt was around, I've got to think myself, around the end of March, early April perhaps. But then let's take you on a bit then, because the other place you've mentioned is after you've crossed the rivers, the Kirsten Town. But there are two rivers. There's the Weser and the Aller. Can you recall that time?
Well, I think the Weser if I remember right, going across the Weser, I think another brigade had got across the river. We just went straight through and went on to the Aller. And when we got to the Aller, there was a dispute about who was going to go which side. And I think on recollection that we went over on the north side.
Do you remember how you went over, Jim?
Well, it was on the pontoons.
Pontoons?
Yeah.
Like an army made bridge, yeah? Any fighting around there?
Do you remember? Yeah, there was heavy fighting around there. The rifle companies, they had to do a river crossing. They had to fight the way across. That was where Sergeant Major Potts, Terry Potts of B Company, was killed going across the Alley. The place I remember most about that part, I know I'm probably missing some because we were going so fast, but we went to a place called Rottenburg.
A bit later on.
And then we went to another Rottenburg further on,
near
Brain.
Yeah.
Now, I remember more about that Rottenburg.
The second one?
The second one.
Yeah. Okay.
Because there was an airfield there. And we had to go and... Well, the thing was, we had to go through to take this airfield so that they couldn't use it. And while we were attacking there, there was a very amusing thing happening. The CO took over a large house as battalion headquarters. And if I remember right, there was some mines or bombs or something in the cellar that were like booby traps. And they had to be diffused and got out and that. And on the right hand side was an orchard. And at the other side, in this orchard, there was a huge barn that the cooks had taken over. And we had one cook, battalion cook, called Eric Stewart. And he was an oldish man compared to us young boys. He was about 44, 45, something like that. And he was very eccentric and fastidiously clean. And all of a sudden, while we were sorting whatever had to be sorted out of this house and battalion HQ, this Eric came out of this barn or whatever it was with a huge bowl, aluminium bowl in his hand, and in army jargon it was bowls cooks for the use of for baking bread, a really big thing. And he came out and he put it down on the floor in the orchard, backwards and forwards from the cook house, with pitchers of boiling water, cold water, and everything. Went back, came out with his towel and soap, tested the water with his elbow, stripped off, got in the bowl, and there he was having a good bath. When right on the top of us was mortar bombs, shells, airburst, the lot.
Yeah.
And when we looked round, Eric was there, stark naked, squatted down on his heels with this bowl over his head.
Well, you've got to see the funny side of that. You see, I can shut my eyes and picture that, and it looks quite humorous.
I've never laughed as much in my life.
Yeah.
And then...
And I would guess many, many times since that you've laughed about the same thing.
I laugh many times.
Yeah.
It just comes into my head,
and
I start to giggle, because it was so humorous.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And... after that, we were still in Rottenburg, and we was near, we was actually in a school, and at dinner time, one of the snipers, a lad called Josh Goddard, was a right character. And he played the mouth organ. And in the darkest and the dankest of days, he'd always bring a smile to your face and make you forget what was really happening. And that was at dinner time. And round about 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Josh Goddard and Butcher had to go out with a fighting patrol from one of the companies. And the Germans let them pass. But Josh Goddard was the last man on the patrol, and they shot him in the back.
Oh, right.
And every time they tried to get to him to get his body, they
I mean, that's a very sad and poignant story, really, because that's according to my recollections, Rottenburg, that was about the end of April.
Yeah, it was only about 12 or 14 days before the war ended.
Yeah. Just want to bring you back a second, Jim, because about 10 minutes ago you mentioned Kirchlin Town.
Yeah.
What do you remember of Kirchlin Town?
Well,
because I tell you when Kirchlin Town was, we're going back about to April the
16th. Yeah, well, the thing, like I said, the thing I remember most at this period, with me just being the RSM's ammunition carrier, we didn't see a right lot of the company's action.
Yeah.
I mean, we were with forward battalion headquarters, but the companies was way in front of us. And from what I could understand of it, they did a pretty fairish bottle in Kirkin Town. Because if I remember rightly, it was there where we were going up the road, and this German soldier in jack boots and grey pants, in his shirt sleeves, digging a garden in front of the house. And of course, he got grabbed and taken away, and his mother came out screaming it was her son, he was on leave.
You can't do that.
Can't do that. He's on leave.
He's only digging his garden. So there you go. So now you're end of April, Rottenburg. And soon you're going to go a little bit further north, presumably.
Well, we, from Rottenburg, we sort of advanced. Every so far, there was bits of skirmishes and that. And we got on the Autobahn by Bremen, and we just turned right and went up the Autobahn.
So where?
To Hamburg.
Okay.
And the thing was that the man responsible for the defence of Hamburg, he said that if the division went in with more people than he had to defend it, he wouldn't defend, he'd capitulate.
Yeah.
And a funny thing I recollect, that with two Blanco and wore our best suits, and we literally took everybody on the vehicles and just drove into Hamburg.
So let's think, can you remember the date that you drove into Hamburg? Now, the 4th of May / 5th of May is when peace was signed, or the armistice was signed, end of the war.
Yeah. Oh, well, we remember seeing Admiral Dorner go through with a car.
So
I presume he was going to sign the peace with Montgomery.
On Lindbergh Heath.
Yeah.
So just describe that going through Hamburg, what it was like.
Well,
you've said how you were dressed up for the occasion.
Yeah. Mm. Well, as we went in to Hamburg, at every street crossing, there was a policeman who came smartly to attention and saluted. But they weren't very happy when we pulled up and took the revolvers off them. And we went right the way in, and there was one bloke that either killed or wounded. Some fanatic shot at him from a side building or something. Mm. And our CO, I don't know what it was, but he took the most beautiful